Welcome to the Straight from the Source's Mouth podcast. Frank talk about sex and dating.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 29 of season 2. My name is Tamara, and you're listening to the Straight from the Source's Mouth podcast. Today's guest, again, is Lucy Price, and Carissa is back too.
Hello.
We'll be talking about...
Hello. Hey.
All right. We'll be talking about how to get closure from relationships and her new program to help as well. If you like this episode, be sure to tell your friends about it and rate it as well. Thanks for joining me today, Lucy and Carissa.
Hello. Thank you for having
me. Hello. Thanks for having me as well.
All right. So if anyone has listened before, you know I get right to the point. And so I know we've had you on, Lucy, and I thought the episode was amazing. And I definitely learned a lot from every episode, but I remember especially learning from that one too. So yeah, I know you have a new program that you are offering to people. So how do you want to just get started either with a few words about closure or just get right to the program and then kind of talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give a few words about closure in terms of the program because I can keep it very short and sweet. And I think it's a really good flow into what closure is and how to find closure. So closure is my 4-week program where I take you through releasing the previous relationship that you've been in, recovering from the heartbreak, realigning your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, and your values in your relationships, and reclaiming your power within relationships so that you can move forward. So the reason I set up that program that way is because I think that when we think of closure, a lot of times people think of closure as in having that closing conversation with people, having that conversation where you get all of those nagging questions answered. And I think it's really common to have questions come up such as, why are you ending the relationship? Why are you leaving? Why are you actually, ending this partnership that we've created? And I think that's one of those thought fallacies that we have as people, that if we know the answer, the pain is going to magically go away. That if we know the logical answer, we won't feel this crushing heartbreak. We won't feel the way that we're feeling, and we'll be able to move on and just get on with it. And the other reason that creating this program and talking about this subject is so important to me is I think that getting closure and heartbreak and relationships ending are one of the most painful experiences that we as people go through, but it's also the one that we try and keep hidden the most. You know, we don't want people to know that we're still getting over somebody. We don't want someone to know that we're going through a painful divorce or breakup. We try to really downplay it. And the society that we are currently living in doesn't give us, in my opinion, the right resources in order to manage that heartbreak, in order to manage that divorce. A lot of the media that is portrayed is just get drunk, just date other people, just sleep with somebody else, and then everything's going to be okay. Or you just need to wait. You just need to wait 2 years to get over him, and then you'll be good to go, and you'll magically meet your soulmate. And life just doesn't work that way. So it's really important to me to talk about closure because I think that so many of us are moving through our life without having closure in a romantic relationship, but it's also not just a romantic relationship. So this could be applied to family members. If you've had a rocky relationship with a family member and not getting closure in that experience, oftentimes some of the closest people to us are actually our friends, and friendships just drift apart and we don't know why, and we don't feel closure around those relationships. So I think that getting closure is really quite vital to feeling fulfilled and having healthy relationships, but it's also something that people really struggle to get in their relationships.
I was going to add, I think it's also, even though you're the one ending the relationship, those feelings are the same or similar. Self-talk that you have with yourself of, am I really crazy? Should I really have ended this?
Absolutely.
Right? So it goes both directions, whether that the other person ended it or whether you did. I mean, there's still the dichotomy of your self-talk of doubting yourself of it being a good decision.
Yeah, it absolutely goes both ways. I think back to how many of my own clients I've talked to who have stayed in relationships because other people told them that they were such a good match, or, oh, are you sure you're going to find another one who's as good as him? Or he's so good for you. You guys are so cute together. Are you? Why did you end it? And people start questioning themselves. They start questioning their intuition, their gut, what they deeply believe is right for them. And it creates a lot of relationship anxiety. So it absolutely goes both ways. And I think also on the flip side, I know so many people who don't even date, don't even want to get into relationships because they're afraid that they're going to be the one to end the relationship. They're afraid that they're going to be the one to then go and hurt somebody. And they don't want to be the one, quote unquote, to cause someone else pain, even if it's in their highest alignment and the best thing for them and potentially the best thing for the other person, for that relationship to, if nothing else, transform into a different type of relationship, a different kind of relationship. So I think it absolutely goes both ways.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, when you mentioned that the episode or season two of Bridgerton, the main character was like, always, I don't want to hurt anyone, so I'm just not going to have love relationship or whatever. But it also reminded me of the thing I forgot. Oh, no, the book, Single on Purpose, Single Period on Purpose Period is a great book that talks about this as well. He talks about how some of his relationships ending and how he did it. So, you know, I always love to provide resources, so I just want to make sure I got that in there too. But so do you want to talk more about like how people can join your program? And then talk about a little more about closure. Or
absolutely. Yeah. So people can join my closure by going to my website, shiftyourstory.net/closure. You could also just find me on Instagram at lucy.m.michaela.price and DM me for the link. And I'm more than happy to send it to you. So getting closure, that's the fun part. How I look at closure, I think I probably said something similar in the previous podcast, because I believe we talked about boundaries in the previous podcast, right? And I said something about boundaries being a bridge. I must like bridges because I have a similar metaphor for closure. I think getting closure is, there's a link between healing from the heartbreak of your previous relationship, but getting closure isn't just about getting over your past relationship or past friendship or past dynamic of that relationship. Getting closure is also being able to move forward. Getting closure is also being able to go forward in your relationships in a different way, with different perspectives, with different belief systems. So what keeps people stuck a lot of the time from getting closure is they are hooked on some aspect of the relationship. Now, this might be the person. This might be the pain of the relationship ending. This might be on one aspect of, I always tried to talk to them and they never wanted to talk to me, and just getting hooked on that loop. But if you are struggling to get closure, chances are there's something that you're hooked onto. And there's something within that that is rooted to a deeper story going on within you. So, for example, if you were hooked on, whenever there was conflict, you always tried to talk to them and they never were willing to have the conversation, or you felt like they weren't, what's the deeper thing going on there? Is it that you don't feel seen? Is it that you don't feel heard? Is it that you don't feel respected? What's the deeper root? What's the deeper wounding? So a lot of getting closure is looking back on the previous relationship. What are you getting hooked on? What are you attached to? What story are you telling yourself? And are you ready to release that? Sometimes when I talk about in week one, releasing the relationship, sometimes it's not releasing the relationship with the person. You could still very much have a relationship with that person, but what are you getting hooked on that's keeping you on a loop, that's keeping you stuck in that piece of the dynamic?
Yeah, I could see that. And you're saying like how it was when you're in that relationship that you're not able to get over.
Yeah.
The thing that drew you to that particular relationship, or how you were in that maybe, or how they were in that.
Yeah, there's something within that you're not able to move on from yet.
Is your program more specifically geared to someone who's already had that separation from whoever, or could it even apply to someone who is thinking about, they're like, I really need to get out of this relationship. I don't know how, and I don't know how to emotionally deal with it. Or obviously there's that loop that you get stuck in while you're in the relationship that, one, you're trying to hide from everybody, and two, you probably are hiding it from yourself, and three, you could probably even tie in religion in there somewhere, you know. I mean, if you're married and, you know, you're mm-hmm. of a certain religion, that's, you know, really frowned upon, even though now in the United yeah. States, everybody's getting divorced, doesn't matter. But,
yeah, I think the statistic or something like that, not to discourage people from marriage, but I'm pretty sure it's like 1 in 4 people or something like that will end up getting divorced. It's like a ridiculously high number.
I think it's 50% of those couples that get married get divorced.
50. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, I mean.
Yeah. Whatever that math yeah, is.
Whatever that. I'm not a mental math person. So, but yeah, I mean, so back to my question of, is it also yeah. people that are thinking about it?
I think it could be. I think when I created the program, it was more from the perspective of having been out of the relationship in terms of a romantic relationship, but also there is a ton of usefulness if you're just getting over an aspect of your relationship with somebody. So for example, if you are in a tricky dynamic with a parent and you're really hooked on how as a kid, your parent was always at work, they were never around you, and you're hooked on that particular thing, then you can definitely get closure around that through this program. If you are currently in the place where you're in a relationship, in a romantic relationship, or in a relationship with someone where you're thinking of ending it in some way, I would probably say a different program would serve in terms of, I have a program called Shift Your Story that could really serve in that aspect. I also think that, you know, you could DM me and I can direct you a little bit further from there. But I would say that if you are just in the relationship trying to decide whether you're going to leave it or not, then it would not be the next step that I recommend. If you know you're going to leave it or not, if you know you are planning on leaving it and you feel hooked on an aspect of leaving the relationship, I would say it is the next step for you. So it just really depends on the nuance of where you're at in that situation.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. Do you also find that your clients, when they're seeking closure, do you ever refer them to other, you know, maybe specifically to additional therapy or grief counseling or anything like that? Like if it was a loss of a parent or, cause sometimes, you know, without closure and the other person has passed and there's a lot of unresolved things, does your program, really help with kind of overarching umbrella of that, or, and then you send them to somebody who more specializes, but how would that potentially work?
Yeah. So I would say that is more of an umbrella. It really helps to support those aspects in terms of if we lose a parent, for example, if someone passes away, there's a lot of things left unsaid. There's a lot of things left undone. And that tends to be the thing that people go back to. I'm even thinking about a personal situation right now. I have a grandparent who is currently going through the process of end of life. And a lot of what's coming up is the hooked on all the things that are going to be left unsaid, all the things that are going to be left undone. And it's the same thing of being hooked on an aspect of the relationship. When you're getting closure on a romantic relationship, it's all the kids that you're never going to have together. It's the wedding you're never going to have. It's the two couples, the old couple sitting on the front porch holding hands that you're never going to have. And you have to grieve that. You have to grieve the potential of the relationship. So when you are going through the process of losing someone or someone has passed away, there are a lot of correlations. Depending on the person, to answer your question in terms of referring to a therapist, I have clients who have both gone through the process of therapy and prefer coaching. And I've also had people who have worked with coaches and therapists simultaneously. And I've also had people come to me where I'm just not the best next step for them. And so I'll refer them to a therapist or a counselor of some description. So it really is a case-by-case basis. I think there's a lot of benefit in working tandem with a therapist and a coach. I've seen a lot of success with that. A lot of my clients do that. And a lot of people do that because due to the constraints of therapy, of counseling, there's some things and some things that therapists can't do and can't speak to that coaches don't have those same restrictions. And so they, for example, you can give more personal experiences. So I can speak to my experience as a person, whereas the therapists are constricted legally from speaking to those sorts of things. So I do think that in some cases, it makes sense to refer people on. But in a lot of cases, you can work with a coach and also get what you're looking for.
Awesome. Do you want to go through like kind of how your program works?
Yeah. So essentially what happens is we go through 4 weeks together. So the first week of the heartbreak and go over the first week of releasing the relationship, it goes back to what I believe about closure in general with people, that there's something about that relationship you are still hooked on. That might be the potential of the future that you have with someone that you have to grieve. That could be a story that you are telling yourself about who you are. For example, if you are hooked on multiple relationships where they just didn't work out, you could start to form the belief of nobody loves me, nobody wants to be with me, and create a story around that. So it really is looking back at the previous relationship that you're finding closure around and finding what are you hooked on? What are you hooked on? What is the deeper meaning? What is the deeper wound going there? And how can we release that so you can move forward? Then we go into week two, which is healing the heartbreak. And I think this is the piece where people think it just takes time. And I really think we can cut the time in half, because we currently live in a culture that I believe is very much about numbing, very much about numbing emotions. Go on Facebook, just completely scroll on Facebook, find a cute cat, get a hit of dopamine, continue on, watch Netflix. You know, go out and party, go out and drink, just numb take everything down, suppress everything. Take a Xanax. Exactly. I just had a flash of David Rose from Schitt's Creek. I don't know if either of you watched that episode, but talking about how he was going to go lay down and have a Xanax and have a glass of wine. And it was a regular everyday night. And I feel like a lot of people are living that way. As much as I love David Rose from Schitt's Creek, I think a lot of people are living that way where they're just numbing to get by. And they don't know that there's another option out there. And even if there is the potential of another option, it's, will this work for me? Will this be what will help me? And that's always the lingering question that keeps people in the loop of heartbreak. So week two is all about healing that heartbreak through emotional intelligence, through mindset. So noticing what feelings are coming up for you and actually allowing yourself to feel them and actually releasing them. Because too often we're having all these feelings bubble up, and due to societal constraints, we are not speaking to it. We're not processing it. We're not allowing it to move through. And so we stay stuck in there. So week two is all about feeling that, feeling the feelings and allowing yourself to process and allowing yourself to heal. Then we get into week three of closure, and all of this setup, all of this stuff I'm talking about is, I would absolutely love whoever is looking for closure to join the program, but also you can take this and figure out how to apply it to your own life in terms of getting closure for yourself. So please feel free to take this and apply this to your own life if you're not in the place right now to join a program, but also I'm going to give you the cheat codes. So if you are looking at it, definitely hop in, but you can apply what I'm saying to your life. So week three is all about realigning the thoughts, the feelings, the beliefs of yourself and what you want for your relationship. So the week one and two is very much about closing the loop of the past relationship. Week three and four is about looking forward so that you can have the relationship that you want to have. So what thoughts, what feelings, what beliefs are keeping you in the cycle of relationships that you're going through right now? What are the new standards you want to uphold for your relationships? Who do you have to become to have those relationships? So week three is all about getting clear, realigning yourself, And then week four is about reclaiming your power. So often in our relationships, we give power away. We determine how we feel based off of how other people view us to be. We determine if we're good enough by other people's opinions and expectations of us and whether we meet those or not. So week four is all about reclaiming that power, taking back what is yours to take back, and standing up for yourself and saying that, you know what, I am worthy. I do deserve to have good relationships. I am an incredible person, and everyone would be really lucky to have me in their life. And I'm going to walk through this world with that inner knowing, that inner trust. And once you do that, it's crazy how much you actually magnetize people who fit that. And also the flip side of that, how quickly people who are not in service of that are released from your life. And I think that's the part that people get scared about, is this feeling that they're going to lose people. It doesn't happen nearly as much as people fear. And also, I think it allows you to go introspective of what those relationships are.
Is that also where you discuss boundaries? Because I think that goes along with, you know, what type of person do you want? What type of person are you? And obviously, like you said, not giving away power within yourself. And I think power is, I associate boundaries with power. Because that's a boundary is a powerful thing. If you keep moving that line, then, mm-hmm. you know, nobody knows where they stand. So they're going to continue to push to see how far they can, you know, push you. So do you talk about that in week four?
Week three. Yes. Week three, we talk about that. Week three, because it's all about realigning, it's looking at what boundaries are you not actually upholding. So week three is... I'll describe it this way. Week three is more about the setting of the boundary, the determining of what you actually want. Week four is stepping into the person who can hold that. So it's a bit of both in reflection. It's one of those things that you have to determine what the boundary is for you and then develop the courage and inner strength to hold that boundary.
Yeah, I can see that. And just another episode, a couple of episodes ago, we talked about an experiment they a group of women did, like one they had their thoughts like I'm all that, and the other ones were purposely acting like they were small, and the people responded to both groups, you know, how they were thinking in their head. Mm-hmm. So definitely, you know, when you're saying magnetizing people,
it's one of those things. The simplest way I describe it to people is, if someone walks in a room and they've had a bad day, chances are you feel that energy. And especially if you have grown up, if you define yourself as an empathetic person, if you've grown up in environments where you have had to look for those subtle cues of what someone's mood is in order to be safe, to be protected, to get your needs met, then you can be hyper aware of that. So I think as a society, we are actually more aware of where other people are than we give ourselves credit for. We can sense it when people walk into the room.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I've read several books that say that kind of thing too. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So I'm also certified to teach yoga. And one of the mantras in yoga is that your energy enters the room before you do. And so there's mm-hmm. a lot to do with, you know, you can even feel if, you know, your energy and someone else's energy clashes. Even just as they come near you, you can feel that, which is why they always say, if you feel any sort of uncomfortable around anyone or in any place or whatever, you know, listen to that and move on. And I think just like you said, you put out those vibes. Your vibes and your energy reflect your thoughts, which is why, I always say words matter. Your internal mm-hmm. words matter and your external words matter. I think I've been touting that since the beginning, right, Tamara?
Yeah, definitely.
It's so true. Your speech creates spells. That's a phrase I really enjoyed. Like how you speak about yourself, how you speak to yourself, and how you speak with other people, as well as how you think about yourself, how you think about the world, that all comes through in your energy. And it's really picked up on. I think it is picked up on by other people. And I'm a spiritual person. And so I also think it's picked up on by the universe. And I think that the world responds to that.
Yeah. And Are there any things you want to make sure people know about, or like with your program, does it start at a certain time, or
yes,
it's always running, or how's
that? It starts at May 16th. The live version starts May 16th. So how it's set up is there is a weekly video module for people to do, and then there is also a Q&A. And if people can't make the live Q&A calls, there's still a way to submit your question ahead of time, or if you would like to prefer to be anonymous, you can always submit your questions ahead of time. So we do start May 16th. After that, it will be available still on my website, but it will be just a self-study course.
I was just going to say, will you hold like another one in, you know, or do you do it quarterly, or do you do it like twice a year live, or...
Yeah, so I do all of my programs at least once a year. This one, it really depends on, for lack of a better word, response. So if there is a desire for it, if there is a need for it, then there will probably be another one taking place in the fall. But at this point in time, there is not one plan to be taking place. But they're always available on my website. If people miss the live version, but they still want to do it, you can absolutely still do it. But there is not another one planned at this current moment until next year.
All right. Hopefully there will be a lot of demand.
Hopefully there'll be a lot of demand.
Yes. All right. And if you want to just cover anything that you didn't cover, or just make sure it's kind of like a final comments or what your closing thoughts are.
Closing thoughts around closure in terms of the concept is closure does not have to take years. It really doesn't. And also don't beat yourself up if it has taken you that long. It's not about that either. It's just, I think we often think it just takes time to get over things. And we can wait a long time, but if we still have the heartbreak, if we're still perpetuating the same thoughts, the same feelings, the same patterns, then not much is going to change. It's similar to habits in that respect. And so closure can come quicker. It doesn't have to take a long time. There are things you can do to feel better. There are things you can do to heal. And that's available for you, whether that is through this program or another avenue. It is available for you and you can find it. And this is not, if you're in any pain right now, it's not going to last forever. And just really hold on to that. It's one of those things that's hard to hold on to when you're in the thick of it. It really is. But really, really believe me, you will get to the other side.
Or as Winston Churchill said, when you're in hell, keep going.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I assume you would say people should not reach out to those exes. You know, like, is that part of it, of just, you know, kind of moving on and trying not to follow them?
In most cases, in most cases, I would say yes. There, of course, are some... what's the word I'm looking for? Some exceptions, such as if you are married with children and you're getting divorced, that could be really challenging. If you have joint custody, you're going to have to coordinate. For some people, it is transitioning from a romance to a friendship. And there is the potential that you just go through a couple months of that transition and then you're good to hang out again. And that's all the time you need. But if you are in the thick of it, if you are currently stalking his or her or their profile, and then you see someone cute in a picture and you're stalking them and you're following them, no, block them, because it's not doing you any favors. Our brains are going to want to do it because our brains are really curious and our brains like to keep us in those loops, but it's not going to serve you. So I would say, In most cases, give yourself some space. Give yourself some space away from that person and allow yourself to find what life is without them in your life in that particular role.
Yeah, actually, I read a book when I broke up with someone. It's called A Breakup Because It's Broken, I think was the title. And it literally was like, you know, it wasn't right for you because, you know, it happened. So, and it was, I literally told him, I'm like, we were living together at the time too. I was like, all right, don't talk to me for like a week and you be up there, I'll be down here. And we just, and I was, I don't know, just helped me get over it that much faster, just because realizing it was broken and there's a reason why it didn't work.
Yeah.
And but yeah, but I just want to say thank you very much for being on this, another amazing episode that a lot of people will get something from. So I thank you again for being here and also for having Krista back, of course, who always asks the great questions.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. And if you like the episode, like I said in the beginning, share it with your friends, rate it, subscribe, and follow all the stuff. All right. Thank you again, everyone.
Thank you.
Frank Talk, Frank Talk, sex and dating educates.